The theme today is prayer. And as a child, I used to be amused by that first reading, the story of the very old Moses standing on the hilltop, overlooking a battle between the dreaded Amalekites and the army of Israel, led by their general called Joshua. I always thought it was rather comical, the way that Moses would wave his staff and then lift his hands in the air, and they'd see that the Israelite army was beginning to win. But he was an old man, he was well into his 80s, if not older. Getting tired, his arms begin to come down, and the baddies begin to push against the Israelites, and they begin to lose. Aaron and Hur, they helped him up, lift his hands up again, and they start winning again. This just sounds comical, it sounds a little bit magical, it sounds a bit like you're playing a computer game. It's not like that. The significance of the hand raising is this. At the time of Moses, still up to this day, people pray by having their hands in the air like that. You sometimes see it at praise being given to God, hallelujah, and people singing and all that. That's not particularly our fashion, particularly in England. We're more reserved, maybe more reserved. But here's the interesting thing. During the Mass, have a look at Father Paul and what he's doing. Because you'll find very often he has his arms in the air like this. He's praying to God and leading our prayer. We're all praying together, but he's leading it, praying to God. He has his arms in the air, just like Moses. That battle we heard about, we know from history that the Amalekites had made an elsewhere in the Bible, that the Amalekites on that occasion had made an unprovoked raid on the Israelite camp. They were leaving Egypt, they were in the wilderness, in the history of the Jewish people. This is a significant moment. The Amalekites had attacked the rear, they were attacking the weak, the defenseless, the women and children, the sick. And they were doing it to steal from the people who were in effect a big refugee camp moving about in the wilderness. It's only then that Moses appoints his general Joshua to set the army on the Amalekites. This is the first time that the Israelite nation had defended itself in that way since escaping from Egypt. First time they'd defended themselves. This was not an aggressive attack, it was defensive. It's also the first time that the man named Joshua is mentioned. Joshua was a brilliant military leader. He was also the man who was to take over the leadership of the nation from Moses and lead the people across the River Jordan into the Promised Land. The first Christians to hear this story would be very clear about the messages for Christians, because the name Joshua in Hebrew, when transliterated into English, comes out as Jesus. If you know anybody called Joshua, actually, it's another name for Jesus. It comes out the same. It's different in English. Joshua, he led the nation in a battle against an unprovoked evil attack and was a great leader. Just like Israel relied on Joshua in its hour of need, on its journey through the dangerous wilderness, so we turn to Joshua, to Jesus, in prayer for help. And it is he who will lead us from this fallen world to the promised land of heaven. The first Christians would pick that up immediately. And the message is reinforced by the gospel story told by Jesus himself. The story of the corrupt, unjust judge who is repeatedly petitioned. It's a legal word. Petition is another name for prayer. Asking someone for something. Petitioned by a woman who has been denied justice, and the judge eventually gives in to her demands. Her persistence pays off. And as Jesus says, as a commentary, how much more can we expect to receive justice if we pray to God? And we pray to God through our own special advocate, another legal word, our representative before the judge, Jesus. He will represent us. But there's a real danger. Jesus says, when I come, when the Son of Man comes, will he find any faith? There's a problem. People can give up. Yes. He understands that in this world we can face terrible situations, injustice, unpleasantness, unfairness. Yet we must always remember to trust in God. Don't give up. Have faith. Just like Moses facing a murderous attack on his people. Like St. Paul, falsely accused by his opponents and put on trial in Rome. And then like our Lord himself, shamelessly denied justice by his own people and then executed by a cruel empire, the Romans, in the most horrible way possible. And to the end, all three remained faithful to God. Remember Jesus dying on the cross, forgiving those who'd done that to him. So we must pray for that same strength to persevere, because we are assured of receiving finally our reward. And if it's not in this world, then we'll definitely receive it in the next.